Certainly glad for the presence of everyone this morning, especially those who may be visiting with us. We're glad that you've come to be with us this morning. We're going to look this morning, beginning in Acts chapter 26. In Acts chapter 26, the Apostle Paul is giving a defense of his conversion to Christianity before King Agrippa. There are several things that are interesting as Paul is looking back to the time when he was Saul of Tarsus, and he was a virulent persecutor of the church. He was trying to have Christians arrested and beaten and thrown into prison and even put to death. In fact, later on in his writing, he said he was a part of some of those who had put Christians to death. And so we look at that and realize what a total conversion he made from what he had been before to what he became when he was an apostle of Christ. And in Acts chapter 26, and we begin reading there, verse 12, he's giving his defense and then talking about, he says, "Whereupon, as I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and they that journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice saying unto me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? For it is hard for you to kick against the goad. And I said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. But arise and stand upon your feet, for to this I have appeared unto you, to appoint you a minister and a witness both of the things wherein you have seen me, and the things wherein I will appear to you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom I send you, to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, and that they may receive remission of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in me." Now read that and realize then, Paul was making his defense before King Agrippa. And he could either be put into prison, he could even be executed, which later on he was, or he could be set free. And by his testimony, we know what happened later. He was actually appealed to Caesar, and he was sent off to Rome there to make his defense there later on. But we find that he was making his defense here, and he recounted the accounts of his own conversion, which we read about in Acts chapter 9, and then his explanation in chapter 22, and then the next one here in chapter 26. But notice what Jesus says was the purpose of why he had called Saul of Tarsus. When Ananias was sent to Saul to tell him what was going to happen, that he had the opportunity to repent, and that he would have the opportunity to serve God. Well, Ananias argued with God and said, "Lord, do you understand that this is the man that's persecuting your people? He is arresting them. He is having them thrown into prison and even put to death." Well, God told Ananias, he says, "You go, he is a chosen vessel for me. I have chosen him to do a work for me, and he's going to do a great work." And so Ananias went and of course, told the Apostle Paul, which he became later, what he had to do to be saved. So the purpose of it was that God wanted him to understand what the purpose of the gospel of Christ is, and for his particular work of preaching and teaching it. And so we looked in chapter 26 and verse 15, or verse 14, says, "When we were all fallen unto the earth, after seeing the light that came around them on the road to Damascus," he says, "I heard a voice saying unto me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goad." Well, Saul didn't understand this. He was wondering, well, what is this? He was doing what he believed to be the right thing. In Acts chapter 23, when he was brought before the council, he says, "I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." In other words, when I was persecuting Christians, even putting them to death, I sincerely believed that I was doing right. that it didn't bother my conscience at all. Well, he was wrong. He was sincerely wrong, just as people can be today if they do not follow what the Lord says. So he said, "Who are you, Lord?" In verse 15, he says, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom you persecute." So Saul, and deep down I think that he probably really knew who this was. I think it came to him all of a sudden that this had to be the one I'm persecuting. This had to be Christ. Now, can you imagine the terror in his mind and heart when Jesus said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting"? I can't begin to imagine. It struck him all the way to his mind, his heart, his soul, and everything. And at that moment, he must have understood, everything I've been doing is against the will of God. I am standing absolute in rebellion against God and God's will. Jesus says, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." Now, it's interesting what Jesus said to him in verse 15. He says, "I am Jesus whom you persecute." Now, who was he persecuting? He was persecuting Christians. He was on his way to Damascus to have some of them arrested and brought back to Jerusalem to be put on trial and imprisoned or sold into slavery or put to death. And so that's what he was doing at this time. Now, turn back for a moment to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 44, where Jesus gives the great scene of the judgment and his description to his disciples. And he's talking about all the people being brought before the Lord on the day of judgment. And in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 42, he says, "For I was hungry and you did not give me to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then shall they also answer and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto you?' And then he shall answer to them, 'Verily I say to you, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of these least, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away unto eternal punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life.'" Now notice what Jesus said to Saul. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" He says, "I am Jesus, who you persecute." To persecute Jesus, the church, is to persecute Jesus. He is part of us, and we are part of him when we are in Christ. So to persecute one is to persecute the other. And so Saul was persecuting God's people. Jesus said, "You're persecuting me because you are doing this to even the least of my brothers and sisters in Christ." And the same principle is today. So we have to be very careful about the way that we look at our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and how we act toward them, how we treat them. Because to do something evil to them is to do evil to Christ. But to do right is also to do the right thing for them. And so there's a lesson there that we all need sometimes to realize how we need to live as God's people. In John chapter 13, Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." That's the distinguishing mark that Jesus gave to his disciples, that we would be different from the world around us. And we don't always live up to that, but we should, and that's what God wants. And so we have to try the best that we can. Now go back now to verse 16 of Acts chapter 26. He says, "But arise and stand upon your feet, for it is to this end I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness both of the things wherein you have seen me and the things wherein I will appear unto you." So he says, "I have appointed you." You are appointed to be an apostle. Now, he was not an apostle like the others that were of the original 12. Jesus individually called them, and they followed, and they were with him for 3 years' time during his personal ministry, and they were eyewitnesses of his death and his burial and his resurrection. But Paul was, as he later explains, he was a child born out of time. In other words, He was specially chosen for this particular work to be an apostle. So Jesus and I have appointed you to be a minister, a servant for me in my work wherever I go. But he also said he's appointed him to be a witness. So a minister is a servant. Paul was chosen to be a servant of God. If you read through Paul's writings all the way through the ones that he wrote for us in the New Testament, over and over and over again, he refers to himself as a minister or a bondservant or even a slave for God, for Christ. And so Jesus called him to be that. But it was not against his will. It was according to the will that he had the ability to accept that and believe it and follow the things the Lord commanded. So he said, I've chosen you to be a minister, in other words, a servant for me in all of these things. And he says, and a witness. A witness is one that has seen something and tells the others what has been seen. And so Saul of Tarsus, now soon to be the Apostle Paul, was going to be a witness of Christ Jesus, who had been resurrected from the dead. And as Jesus said, these things wherein you have seen me, and of the things wherein I will appear unto you. So he says, you're seeing me now, and I'm going to appear to you again at other times. And you read through the book of Acts, and you'll find that he did that on several occasions. And also in Paul's writings, how that Jesus spoke to him on several occasions, appeared to him on a couple of those times to explain to him further the things that he was to do as a servant. But he says, and if you go back for a moment to Acts chapter 4, in Acts chapter 4 we have the response of Peter and John, for example, when they were arrested and they were put into jail and they were threatened and told not to speak any more in the name of Christ. Well, in Acts chapter 4, verse 19, it says, Peter and John answered and said unto them, that's to the Sanhedrin council, whether is right in the sight of God to hearken unto you rather than God judge you? For we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. We cannot hold back. We've seen this, we've heard this. Basically, they're saying, you do to us whatever you think you want, but we're still going to speak in the name of Christ. Well, that's what Jesus was telling Saul of Tarsus. He says, you're going to be overwhelmed with what I've told you, what I've appeared to you in doing, what I'm going to tell you and deliver to you. And so it's going to be your responsibility. So in essence, Jesus was telling Saul, you're going to be an apostle, a minister, a servant, a witness, just like Peter and James and John and all of the other apostles. You're going to be on that same level. In fact, you read in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, and Paul says there on a couple of occasions, he says, I'm not one part behind the very chiefest of apostles. I have the same authority, same power as them. So we see as we read what Paul wrote later, that's exactly what happened, what Jesus told him. So look at verse 17 of Acts 26 and verse 17. Delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I send you. Now notice, he was going to have to be delivered from his own people, from the Jews. Well, when Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle, all of those friends and people he had known from the time he was growing up, all through his schooling and all of the things that he did, they were going to turn on him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted this one that was a traitor to them and to the law and to God as they viewed it. They wanted to kill him. And so Jesus said, I'm going to deliver you from the people. The people here is the Jews on this occasion in that context. So he is going to deliver them from him. And one of the ironies, of course, is that now he was going to be delivered from what he himself had been before. He had been a persecutor. He had been one to try to kill Christians. Now they were going to try to kill him. But also, Jesus said, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I send you. So he's going to send him to the Gentiles. Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, as he was known before, was grown up being told that the Israelites were the chosen people of God. God had nothing to do with the Gentiles. They were on a lower level than us, and we looked down upon them. Now Jesus said, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles, but I'll have to deliver you from them also. So you read through Acts and read through Paul's writings. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, I was shipwrecked, I was beaten, I was in prison, I was threatened with death, I was hungry, I was thirsty. All of these things I suffered, and yet the Lord delivered me and kept me. So Jesus kept his word to Saul. And he says then, I will delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I send you. Well, what was his reaction to being sent? What did he ultimately view this as being? Well, turn over for just a moment to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll begin reading in verse 7. Ephesians 3 and verse 7. He says, whereof I was made a minister, that's of the gospel, according to the gift that was of that grace of God, which was given me according to the working of his power. So this is the power of God, that I have this grace, this blessing was given to me, and this opportunity. Verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, was this grace given. He says, I am not worthy to be even called one of you or a Christian. He says, I persecuted the church. I was not worthy for any of this. And yet he says unto me, who am less than the least of the saints, was this grace given. Well, what was this grace? What was this blessing that God gave him? They didn't deserve and didn't earn and in fact turned his back upon it. He says, to preach unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the dispensation of the mystery, which for ages has been hid in God who created all things. He says, it's a great blessing. It's a great grace of God that he gave me to be able to do this. So Saul didn't stand against that. He answered the call that God gave him. He was willing to do whatever God required of him, whatever Christ gave him and set before him. But we look at verse 18 now. What then was the purpose that the Lord chose him, and what was he to do? Well, basically it's the same kind of thing we're supposed to do, but there he was specific about it. Verse 18 of of Acts 26. He says on that occasion, he says, to open their eyes that they might turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, they may receive remission of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in me. In a sense, that's the gospel in a nutshell right there. He says he's to open their eyes spiritually. Now again, one of the ironies of this is when Saul saw the light on the road to Damascus, he was blinded himself. He couldn't see for 3 days. He had to be led by the hand into the land, into the city. And there he was to, he prayed and fasted and waited till something was done for him, till Ananias came and said, receive your sight, and he did. So he himself was blinded. But his work was to open their eyes, not to something physical, but something spiritual. On a couple of occasions, Jesus told the people that if you could really see what I'm doing, you would be lost, but because you're blinded, you will be able to see later and understand. And that's what Jesus, in essence, was saying to Saul. And he literally became physically blind for those 3 days. But Jesus said, I'm sending you to open their eyes. In Luke chapter 24, we have an example. After Jesus' death, burial and resurrection. And he was walking along the road to Emmaus with two disciples, and they were sad and everything, and because that this Jesus they thought was going to be the Messiah had died on the cross. And so they were going back to their home in Emmaus. Well, Jesus was walking with them, and they didn't understand who he was because they didn't believe he'd been resurrected. And finally, Luke chapter 24 and verse 31, as he walked with them along the road and came to their house, it says there, their eyes were opened and they knew him. He was with them all of the time, but they didn't realize it until he opened their eyes that they could see. Now, they could see physically, but they didn't understand. And that's what Saul was sent to do. He says, Jesus said to open their eyes, the second part of that verse, that they may turn from darkness to the light. Okay, turning from darkness to the light. All through the Bible, from the very beginning to the end, the idea of the light is the truth, the message, the good, righteousness and faith, the love of God, the grace of God. That's where the light is. That's why in 1 John 1, 7, it says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So that's what the light is. So there is the light of God. It says to turn them from darkness to light. Darkness is the darkness of evil, which we cannot see what's right and what is good. John chapter 3, Jesus says the people love the darkness because there their works would not be shown. We'll turn back for a moment to John chapter 1. In John, the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5. John chapter 1 verse 4 says of Christ, in him was life, and the light, life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So the light of God in Christ came to the world, but at first the world didn't understand it, did not receive it. So Jesus said, I'm going to send you, Saul, now Paul the Apostle, as he became, to be a light to the world for me on my behalf. So he is going to go there, or to be the one to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. The power of Satan to God. God's will was going to be done. Satan's will was going to be overcome. When Jesus died on the cross, Satan for a moment overcame the authority and the power of God. But it only lasted 3 days. Because on the third day, Jesus came out of the grave and triumphed over sin and death for us and shed his blood so that we could be forgiven of our sins. So he says there, Jesus said to him, to turn from the power of Satan unto God, from the darkness to the light, from the power of Satan to God. That's one and the same, and that was going to happen. But also he says then, in that passage, that they may receive remission of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in me. They are sanctified, we're cleansed, we have our sins taken away by our faith and our willingness to follow the things our Lord has commanded. Remission of sins was promised by Jesus to his disciples, but it wasn't until the day of Pentecost when it was actually revealed to them what they were to do. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, when Peter preached that day and said that the prophet said that he was going to come and be the Christ, he would die on the cross and rise the third day, that he would be the Messiah, the anointed one, the King, the Christ. And he did exactly as God commanded and exactly as God said. And he says, you have crucified him, and yet God raised him up from the dead. Well, in Acts 2:37, they said, what shall we do? They realized they had crucified the Son of God. They had crucified the Messiah that they had been looking forward to all the way back from the beginning of the Word of God all the way till their time. They crucified him. He said, what shall we do? How can we relieve ourselves of the guilt of this sin we have committed? Well, he says, Peter said there, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he says, for to you and to your children and to all that are afar off. That's the Gentile nations that Saul was going to be sent to. We're far off because we're not of the Jewish nation, the original one, but we're Gentiles. We were not under the covenant given to Moses, but we are under the covenant of Christ when we believe and obey the gospel. It says, you do this, you receive remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit to guide us, to direct us by the word of God, to keep us strong in faith, and to continue with us all the way. And of course, over in chapter 2 and verse 42, he says they continued steadfastly in all of these things, and serving and worshiping and prayer and breaking of bread and all of these things together. And so they did that. And Saul, of course, was told here. He says, you're to go and you're to tell them that they will receive an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in me. So what was he to do? Basically, to go and preach and teach the gospel of Christ, the good news of his coming, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension back to heaven, his coming again. A little while ago, we partook of the Lord's Supper, the bread and the fruit of the vine, which is a representation of us, of Jesus' body and his blood, but to remember that, as he said, until he comes again, to give us eternal life. So what are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to do the same thing. Chapter 26 and verse 19, he says, therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Saul Tarsus now become the Apostle Paul. He says, I did what Jesus told me to do. Verse 20, but declared both to them and to of Damascus first and at Jerusalem and throughout all the country of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, doing works worthy of repentance. In other words, Paul said to the king, he says, I did exactly what Jesus told me to do. And that's what I'm still doing. And that basically that's why I'm here, being put on trial for serving God. So that's what we're to do. Live a faithful life as best that we can. We obey the gospel first to be in a right relationship with God through Christ, through his shed blood. And from that day forward, we ought to be faithful and do the best that we can to do so. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul, in writing to Timothy before his own death, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In other words, he went all the way through the rest of his life totally dedicated to the service of the Lord. Well, God does not expect us that we always have to be immediately in danger of our lives for the service of our Lord. But we might someday, we don't know. But from that time on, we're to be faithful as best we can every day we live. Now this morning, if you need to come, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, Jesus said, come and I will give you rest. But we have to come, we have to decide we're going to do that. If you need to come this morning, won't you do so as we stand and as we sing?